I'm glad to hear that y'all had a good service, and I just realized something. I think I'm right. Rachel's not here, is she?
She is exhausted.
Yeah, she's not in there.
I had to make sure she was completely done.
Check. Well.
That's why she was nervous about it, too.
Tell her that I'm very proud for her, and tell her I said I love her.
She said, "Mama, I really want to go tonight." She said, "But I'm so tired."
I'm really glad y'all had a good day, and glad to hear that Brother Taylor was blessed in the pulpit again. That's always good news. He had a good crowd. I'm excited for Mount Calvary. I'm going to tell y'all something, and I don't say this unless it's true. The Lord is working in this place.
Amen.
That's right.
You can feel it.
Amen.
And I don't say that unless I mean it and unless I felt it. The Lord is working in this place. So whatever you do, just keep trusting in the Lord and look to Him. We had a good day at Beckman today, and it's already been mentioned. I call him Brother Johnny now. Brother Johnny got his situation cleared up, and he came to the altar, and we were at church till about 1:30, and that's fine.
Man.
We stayed there till 2:30 or 3:30, ever how long. But he was on the altar for a good while, and he was very serious, and he was praying, and all of a sudden he raised up and said, "I just got saved."
As much as heart.
And he had a smile on his face this big the whole time after that. So I'm thankful that we had a good day. Lane preached a wonderful sermon. I had him. It is nice. I mean, you know, having other preachers has its advantages. And we were going home last night from here, and I looked over at Lane. I said, "You want to preach in the morning?" He goes, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm serious." And he said, "Yeah, I guess I can. The Lord's giving me a thought." And I said, "There you go." So he did a fantastic job this morning. I appreciate him. We did have a good day at Beckwith. Looking forward to a good night tonight.
Amen.
And I hope you've been in prayer. I hope you continue in prayer. You see, prayer availeth much.
Amen.
And we don't ever need to forget that. And I hope that as a church we're praying tonight. Again, I don't know the heart of anybody in the service. According to your testimony, a lot of you have brought forth fruits meet for repentance, and I'm always glad to hear people share their testimony, but we never know. So we're gonna preach the gospel again, and if it's God's will, He'll give the increase. You have your Bibles turned. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, "Peace and safety," then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. That's the reading of the first 11 verses of the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I guess if there's a subject that works up more curiosity among the world is when the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
People do a lot of predicting and they do a lot of speculating when it comes to the end of time and the Lord coming back. I'm not going to do that tonight. In fact, the end of time is not even my subject. But I want to say this. Jesus told us in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew that we could, in a parable about a fig tree, and that we could watch that fig tree. And when that fig tree began to put forth leaves, we would know that summer is near. I'm watching the fig tree. And I'm wondering. I don't make any speculations. That's God's business, and I don't mess with God's business. But I do want to point something out that the Lord did say later on in that same chapter that we do need to be concerned about. More concerned than when the actual day and time is going to come. And he said, be ready. Be ready, for in an hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh. Tonight, we want to concern ourselves with that. Be ready. You know, there are a lot of people, and the Apostle Peter commented on this in the second epistle, chapter 3. He talked about that time, and he said in the last days scoffers would come. And he said that those scoffers, walking in their own lust, that they would ask, where is the promise of his coming? You know, there are people that are scoffing today. Since these words were spoken by the Apostle Paul, and even before by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2,000 years, approximately 2,000 years have elapsed. They passed. And people begin to get comfortable with the idea that maybe the Lord's not coming back. Well, I want to remind you of something that the Apostle Peter tells us, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. His idea of time does not work as ours do. So, getting back, I want to encourage you that if there's anybody in here that is not ready, then I hope and pray that somewhere and somewhere soon that you will get ready. And you need to do that. That needs to be the first priority on your list, is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Our thought tonight is going to be from verse 9. And Paul said, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Some very important words right there.
Amen.
Some very important instructions that the whole world needs to pay attention to, but the whole world's not here. And I understand that. It's us. I'm thankful that you're here. I appreciate everybody that's come this way tonight. And I want you to understand that these are some very important words. tonight. And these instructions from the Word of God to be ready is not something to be joked about or to be taken lightly. And I hope and I pray that you will get serious about it. You know, it is God's will, as Paul told Timothy, to have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. That is what God wills, and that's what God has willed since the beginning of time. And until that time ends, God will continue to desire and will that people will be saved by His grace through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, as I stand before this congregation, I wonder tonight if there's anyone among us that remains unsaved. I have no way of knowing that. And unless you come up and tell me, preacher, I've never been saved, I won't know any difference. But I wonder if there's one person, or perhaps two, that are yet still in their sin of unbelief. You know, I was thinking earlier today, what a wonderful week we have had here at Mount Calvary. Amen. I have felt the presence of the Lord in this pulpit and outside of this pulpit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And I'll tell you, church, I have had great liberty this week as we have come to assist your pastor in this effort meeting. What a wonderful week we have had. You, as the listeners and the ones that give ear to the Word of God that has been preached this week, you have been blessed by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ every night.
Amen.
Every night.
Amen.
You know, I was also thinking about you. I've been blessed because of you. We've come together as God's people, and we have prayed, and we have sang, and we have testified as the Lord has moved us. And we have felt the Spirit of God. You have been a blessing to me. And I thank you tonight for following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of places, they're afraid of the Spirit. I believe they're actually afraid of the Spirit. They're afraid that the Spirit might get a hold of them and they have to do something. And they quench the Spirit, and you walk in there and it's like walking into a freezer. I'm glad that the Lord has met with us this week.
Amen.
And I hope that each and every one of God's people has felt His presence. If you haven't felt His presence, there's something wrong with you and God.
Amen.
The problem is not this church. It's with you and God. And if I were you, I would get my heart right.
Amen.
But it's been a good week. And I was thinking, what a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful opportunity God has given the people that have perhaps come and maybe been here every night or maybe dropped by one night. I don't know. But what a wonderful opportunity God has given every single one that might be lost.
Amen.
To have an opportunity to be saved. There's been enough gospel preached here this week to save the whole world if they would give ear and open their heart. What a great time. I'm sure that you have heard the phrase, an opportunity of a lifetime. I'm still waiting on my opportunity of a lifetime. I don't know if it come by me and I just wasn't paying any attention. I don't know. But I wish you'd turn around and come back. You've heard that phrase, I'm sure. And this doesn't happen every day. And when it does, when that opportunity of a lifetime, when it comes by you, you've got to seize that moment. You've got to take advantage. to you. Or it could be dog that pass you by and they don't stick around long. It could be God. And for the rest of your life you spend and you begin to wonder and you begin to think, what if? What if? Or why didn't I seize the opportunity? You kind of discouraged again. What we're talking about tonight is something a whole lot better than an opportunity of a lifetime.
Amen.
We're talking about an opportunity for eternity.
Amen.
This lifetime, the Bible tells us, and it's already been commented on, how short our life is. James said it's like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it's gone. Folks, I woke up last June the 19th. I was 59 years old. I don't know what happened. I really don't. You young fellas, y'all better seize every moment and cherish every minute of every day, because you're going to wake up one day and you're going to be 59.
Amen.
I'm at the point in my, and I never thought that, you know, I used to, when I was younger, I'd hear people talk about this, and I thought, what in the world? Now I know. Honey, I'm glad just to wake up every day now. Just to get another day in. I'm concerned that a lot of people are more involved in trying to seize the opportunity of a lifetime than they are to seize the opportunity for eternity.
Right.
We can see that in our world today. People are more concerned with the pleasures of the world, everything that's going on out there. It amazes me that all you've got to do is say the word ball game and you've got a crowd. But you say the word church and you have to go to hunt. That's the time that we're living in. And I could go back and get off on that fig tree again, but I need to mow the lawn. Over in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts, there's a story. It's recorded in the Bible, and we know Paul's ministry, and people they couldn't figure out what to do with Paul. God had promised him. God had promised Paul, said, you'll go to Rome, and you'll stand. So all this other stuff that's going on prior to that didn't mean a whole lot. And Paul, we find in here, he is before the governor, Felix. And it didn't matter who Paul was in the company of, he was going to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It didn't matter if they were people in high authority or if they were people on the street. The Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for he knew that it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Amen.
So here he carried. And this governor, Felix, Paul, he got to the opportunity to preach to him. And I would have liked to have that one on tape, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I would have liked to have heard that one. The Bible tells us that he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Some of the same subjects that we're preaching about tonight. Paul, led by the Holy Spirit of God, let loose on Felix, the governor. And I believe that the Bible had an effect on Felix. The Bible says that he trembled. Now, Felix was not scared of Paul. He had soldiers at his command. I believe it was about 200 of them. He could have said, away with that man, and Paul would have been done right there. Felix did not tremble because of Paul. He trembled because of what Paul preached. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it's preached in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, it'll go out and it'll accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. The Bible says that he trembled. What a wonderful opportunity Felix had.
Amen.
What a wonderful opportunity he had. This was his opportunity for eternity. And you know what the Bible says? He said, he answered, he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He let that opportunity pass on by. Did he have another one? I don't think so, personally. I don't. I may be wrong. I hope he's there. I don't have any quarrels with Felix. I hope that somewhere he got down and made an altar and called upon the name of the Lord and got saved. I hope that's the case.
Amen.
But the Bible tells us that here was his motive. He said he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Pontius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Doesn't sound like he had much of a change of heart, does it? But he sure did want that money. You know, we've got a lot of that going on in the world today, too. I've often wondered if you took the money away, you know, I believe that would eliminate a lot of what we're seeing going on in the religious world. You take that money away, they'd start finding another occupation. I guarantee it. Salvation is not about when it's convenient for you. You don't get to pick and choose. When the Lord, by His power and the work of the Holy Spirit, when He begins to draw on your heart, that is the opportunity that you need to seize in seeking the Lord for the salvation of your soul.
Amen.
Isaiah said in chapter 55 and verse 6, he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I wonder tonight, I wonder if there's anybody in this service tonight that the Lord is right there with you. He's very near and he's calling you. I hope you respond. And I hope you answer. You know, there's a lot of folks, they go to church, and I'm thankful that people go to the true church.
Amen.
I wouldn't give you 15 cents for a lot of this stuff they call church.
Amen.
I'd just soon go watch a movie at the theater. People talk about going to church. I want to go to the church that Jesus set up.
Amen.
Amen.
One of our deacons, he uses this illustration, and I like it. I like it. If you ring a bell in this church, it needs to ring in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Because it's connected to the true church that the Lord Jesus Christ set up. We didn't come out of the counterfeit church. I'm not a Protestant. A lot of our people don't even understand that. preach that, they're like, what? I had one when I pastored Grant. There was a fellow told me he went into the military and he sat down and he started to do the paperwork and they asked him about his religion and they had all the major categories that they got in the world. And it had Protestant. He didn't mark it. He took his pencil and he wrote out there, Missionary Baptist. Well, whoever this guy was, he could not understand that. He told us, he said, son, he said, if you're a Baptist, you're supposed to mark Protestant. He said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And he goes, I'm not going to mark it. I am a Missionary Baptist. I'm proud to be a Missionary Baptist. I'm not ashamed to be a Missionary Baptist, man. And anybody that is, you need to get down on your knees and have a talk with the Lord, and you need to get in the book.
Amen.
And you need to do some research and do some study.
Amen.
But what a wonderful opportunity that you have to be in the true church tonight. And people go to church and they go Sunday after Sunday. Many of them go and they go for their whole life. And the door of mercy and grace is open to them every single Sunday. But yet, they don't take advantage of the opportunities that God has given them. Jesus said in the 12th chapter of the book of John, verse 36, He said, while ye have the light. While ye have the light. Now that word, while there, is very significant. It's very significant. While you have the light. Believe the light that ye may be the children of light.
Amen.
Now that says to me that that light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ may not always shine upon you.
Amen.
God said way back there in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man.
Amen.
Which means that I think that a person can reject and reject and say no to the opportunities that God gives them. And that light doesn't shine. That heart gets so hard and calloused that light has no effect upon them. A lot of people don't agree with that. There's teaching now that just any time you get ready, you just need to come on up and get saved.
Lord, no.
I don't preach that.
Amen.
I don't believe that.
Amen.
I believe that when the Lord is knocking on your heart's door, that's the time that you need to seek the Lord.
Amen.
And again, going back, if the gospel's preached, honey, it's going to knock on that door.
Amen.
So you don't have to worry about that part of it. God will take care of His end.
Amen.
He always has and He always will. What you need to worry about is while that light is shining upon that heart, you need to make your way toward that light. And you need to find that light. And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't stand up here tonight and tell you how many more opportunities you'll have. You don't know how many more opportunities you will have.
Amen.
I may not make it home tonight. I understand that. You may not make it. I hope we all make it home. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We have no assurance of tomorrow. That's why Jesus Christ said to be ready. I'm ready. I want everybody in here to know I'm ready. I'm ready. I've been ready. Since I was 12 years old, the Lord got me ready. I didn't get myself ready. God got me ready. He made me ready. And I'm thankful for that. You know, the Bible tells us also in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is long-suffering to usward. He's long-suffering to usward. He is a very
patient God. And He has been. And He said that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm going to tell you something. The patience of God is going to stop. It's going to stop. One day after a while, the Apostle Paul touched on that. There's a day coming when all of these opportunities that have presented themselves, they're going to be gone. I don't know when that day is, and neither does anybody else. The angels in heaven, no man, or the angels in heaven, that fact is reserved for God only.
Amen.
So we can't pinpoint anything about that day. So we need to be ready tonight. And I wonder if everybody in here is ready. Over in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and He shall answer, and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are." Just like it was in the days of Noah. Just like it was. Noah, the Bible tells us, Peter did, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he was I don't know if he was hammered. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know how he built the ark, but he did a good job.
Amen.
I believe that. But I believe the whole time that he's working on this ark that God was directing him to build. That he was a preacher of righteousness. He was warning those people to flee the wrath to come. Folks, and you know what? They made fun of him. They didn't pay any attention. And Jesus said that as in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the very day that Noah entered into the ark. They didn't pay him no attention whatsoever. But the Bible tells us that when Noah and his family, eight souls, and all the animals that God had sent that way and gathered on the ark, the Bible says when they went in, that God shut the door.
Amen.
All opportunity for those folks on the outside was gone. And that's the way it's going to be when Jesus Christ comes. I hope you're not one of those that thinks at the last minute and, you know, again, there's so much teaching going on that's contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
It's amazing to me. People are actually being taught, and people have actually instilled this into their minds and their thought process that they're going to have plenty of time to be saved when Jesus comes back. You will not find that in the Scripture.
Amen.
That is a fabrication of somebody's imagination.
Amen.
And they got rich off of selling books, selling it to these poor souls that don't know their right hand from their left hand about the Word of God. That's not what Jesus said. He said, be ready.
Amen.
Be ready. For you know not what that day may be. When that door shuts, a lot of people, I don't know who believes what anymore. I'm puzzled. There's so much going on in the world. People are just grabbing and just taking and running with it, and it doesn't even relate to the Bible. I don't understand. I don't understand. Can't they read? Why can't they read? But when that door is shut, all opportunities to be saved are going to be shut. You need to know that tonight. The wrath of God is going to abide upon that individual that does not obtain the Lord's salvation. There's no purgatory. There's no place for you to go and chill out for a little while till God sorts all this out. Jesus said in the book of Matthew also that all nations shall be gathered before Him. And He will begin to separate them as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. Now I'm a farm boy. I know a little bit about animals. It's not a problem for me to look and identify a sheep as a sheep and a goat as a goat. It's just a matter of putting my eyeballs on it. It ain't going to be no problem for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to identify His children. They won't have a problem. He said, I know my sheep. And He knows me. And He knows you that are the children of God. But those that are on the left, that's a bad place to be. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. The left hand of God. That's where those that are going to experience the wrath of God, that's where they're going to land. The left hand. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 17, this question is asked. The great day of His wrath is come. That day will come.
Amen.
Regardless of what we think or what we believe or how much we scoff or how much we laugh or mock or whatever, that day will come. The great day of His wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Huh? Are you paying attention?
Good. I'm glad.
Only those who have obtained salvation will be able to stand on that day. You don't want to be numbered with those that have neglected salvation. They didn't have time for salvation. They were more concerned about something else in their life. If they never give their soul any consideration, you don't want to be numbered with them. Because here's what He says to those on the left: depart from me, ye cursed. Think about that. The patience of God is gone at this point, okay? It's done. His long suffering to us for no more. He is separated. The saved and the unsaved. And He looks at those that are not washed in the blood of the Lamb. And He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you're here tonight and you're lost and you're separated from God, that's you. That's where you stand tonight. That's where you're at. And He goes on in verse 46 and He says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. I've often thought about the punishments that people are going to experience in hell. Yes, the flames of hell, they will not be quenched ever and forever. And it'll be a different kind of flame, I think. I think that the rich man, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, I think part of his torments, one of them was he could see what was going on. I believe that another torment is just like that opportunity of a lifetime. You're going to sit and you're going to think forever and forever, why didn't I seize the opportunity that God gave me? Why? I was there. God was knocking on my heart's door. He was near. He was drawing me. But yet, I refused. That will go with you forever and forever
and forever. You know, that would be agonizing when you actually stop and think about it. To miss the greatest opportunity in this world and the world to come. And to know that you was almost persuaded, as Agrippa was. Almost. But not altogether. What a shame. Is anybody here tonight that's lost? God has touched your heart and you feel that drawing power. You know, it doesn't have to stay the way it is. God wills that we obtain His salvation. It is a free gift. He offers it to everybody. It doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to worry about when the end of time, all this mess about these nuclear bombs, I could care less. You blow me up, I'm gone. I'll be gone. The Lord's going to take care of that too, I believe. People worry about things that there's no need to worry about. I'm ready tonight. I'm glad a lot of you are ready. But if there's somebody here tonight and you know in your heart that you're not, tonight would be the perfect opportunity for you to come and seek the Lord. Is He drawing you? You feel that tug in your heart. Maybe you're a religious person. Maybe you're a good moral person. And I appreciate that. We need more people with good morals. Goodness gracious. But good morals, good religion is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. It takes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that somewhere in your life, before it comes to a halt, that you'll make preparations for that day. I'm going to ask Brother Cole, if he would, to prepare an invitational hymn. If there's anybody here and you know that your heart's not right with God, I want you to know something. Your heart can get right with God. It can get right with God here tonight. What a wonderful opportunity you have as we stand and sing.